if you wanted to know what downtown Los Angeles is like at 1:30, what is it, fucking 1:40 in the morning, it's a lot of angles. People that are living on the street and frequent the bars that my producer takes me to, King Eddie Saloon. You meet people that want you to share their most their brink, their breaking point. They're sharing with you their moment of confrontation, and you're there for a spritzer. They're there for a fucking fight. And the man is taking me down. And so you have to politely grin and say, thank you for buying me a $2.50 drink. I know you're at the edge of your universe, but I'm just here for a thrill. And there's a cross between Baptist South and Catholicism and a bunch of WASPs and a bunch of hipsters.
A religion plays a big part in it. I'm not on radio. Am I here? Is this on?
You're on. Is this live? On Skid Row Studios.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's exciting. Just the way you say that.
I have under my sexy skin. Radio voice.
It's Skid Row Studios. It's kind of a yeah.
Did they ask you for a down payment on their house, or
I was just one of those guys, you know, asking for a free drink from you in the bar, and they just kind of, you know, just kind of brought me along, and I just followed them here.
I saw that. You know, free drinks at a downtown LA bar, bought to you by Skid Row Bumps.
There you go. Well, they're, you know, I was just one of the guys just hanging out there. These guys were kind enough to invite me in, and you know, I actually thought it was going to be my last time at King Eddie's because I was worried about them changing it.
It's my first time.
Yeah, well, welcome. I was worried it was going to be my last, but right. I wasn't there that long. Is this still on? Okay. It was either my ears popped or the microphone went out. Okay. I think maybe my ears popped. It's like we're at a high altitude. We're getting so high that the high altitude just popped my ears, like, you know, just bam, out. And my brain is just splattered on the, anyway, I'm grateful that, you know, I just got to come along for the ride, but you're absolutely right. That's what I've experienced at the King Eddie's. The religion thing is interesting. That plays a big role down here.
Why did they have like Abercrombie and Fitch bartenders?
And like at King Eddie's.
Straight out of WeHo.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but downtown
and serving the Skid Row guys. Well,
they're like, this one's on us.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's to give a. I don't know. These are guys who, maybe they're failed models or something, and they.
Have you ever looked down at the floor?
On King Eddie's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh no, well, I haven't.
Which one? The bathroom floor or the regular?
Oh. I hear they're being shut down because of the bathroom.
Yeah, I think the trough plays a big role. It scares the hipsters. The trough.
It's like multi-trough in the men's room. I can't imagine what it's like in the ladies.
In the women's room, I know. That's a good... I know. Do the women deal with that too? I don't know. I mean, it would be entertaining, but not for them. But the I always wondered, yeah, when I went in there, that bathroom. Well, can I say what happened in that bathroom, or is that...
Please.
Really?
They said they go till 3-4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And who's listening to this anyway, except someone who would want to hear this kind of thing? I'm sure you would, but... I went into that bathroom. This is the first time I went into that bathroom was also the first time I ever got to smoke crack.
Nice.
Just a little bit. It was just a little bit, and it was light, and it was kind of cut with something, I think, but it was crack nonetheless. And you know, the guy offered it to me. He was very kind. He was very forthright and kind of inviting. And he said, hey, you want some? And I was. How could I resist? It was just, I was pretty drunk, I'll give you that. But it was, where else can you get that opportunity? But the truth is that it's a great place. And actually the people are very, really kind. And seriously, they're awesome. And I hope I wish it would never change. I know that it's inevitable, but I hope in some weird way that they decide, you know, like the bar back there said, he actually had the best advice to them that they're making money as it is. They're making money with their usual crowd, right? And they should keep it the way it is because they are making money the way it is. So this is to the new owners.
A better Yelp review.
The owners should hear this.
Hipsters come down and drop. They're like, I'll pay $7. Yeah. $6 for a beer.
But who needs them when
beers are like $1.50? Shut up.
Yeah,
I'll have a Jack and Coke.
They want to pay
$2.50.
They're already offering $7.50
at King Eddie Saloon, 131 East Main.
Fifth Street.
East
between
Fifth Street.
Off Main Street.
And what's great is you're on the west side, the north side of that area, you're like, oh, I'm cool. You get closer, you see Fifth Street.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, right. Shit.
No, that's Skid Row. And it's so funny when these hipsters go there and, you know, they sit across from these old guys and they don't talk.
You see the tents 20, 30 feet away. The tents. You see 30, 40 people milling about.
Yeah.
And they have no place to sleep. One out of 9 homes in America are foreclosed. And we have 20, 30,000 homeless downtown LA.
And there's over 50,000 in Los Angeles.
And they
Angeles.
Buy you drinks.
Yes, they do. They do. They really do. They have the best heart out of anyone I've ever met in the fucking world. I mean... I don't know what the language is here, but
because the drinks I'm not a radio are so cheap. Person.
But they do. And they will talk to you, buy you drinks, hang out.
There's a smoking room. Yeah. If you drink and you smoke cigarettes
at the same time,
kill
it's
you,
the penalty
by the way.
Box.
Right. Well, that's news to people.
You can go into the penalty box and sit there and look at the whole color of the bar with your drink in your hand.
I've never met so many kind people.
A cigarette
made in
Virginia.
I'm not kidding. I've gone to these other bars that are these newer bars that have popped up, and they're just obnoxious jerk offs. I'm sorry, but this is the way. I don't know. Anyway.
What did you feel as the only woman?
Oh, may I introduce myself?
Yes, please.
Hi.
Please.
Who are you?
I am Sabrina Haven. Meow, meow, meow.
Sabrina Haven.
On the mic.
Live.
I didn't introduce myself, by the way. I'm just a guy who's here, but my name's Randall, by the way. Randall
Let's
Kaplan.
Kick it to Randall.
I'll tell you something later, but Sabrina, what did you, this was your first time there, right?
No, actually.
Oh, so you lied to me.
No, I did not lie to you. Oh.
Why did you lie to me?
Wait, to the establishment?
To the establishment.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Skid Row Studios.
This is not, so this is, this is your second time here or what?
Yes.
Oh, so I'm the newbie.
You're the newbie.
Have you been on the radio?
No.
Oh.
This is my first time.
So why am I talking so much? Look, you go ahead. I've never been here before. You go ahead.
You've been on the radio in Portland.
I'm chiming in on our same situation.
What did you think of King Eddie's?
Oh, I thought it was absolutely fabulous. The people there were incredible.
Yeah.
A lot of good energy.
Yeah. That's...
Eyes. There were eyes everywhere. Drinks. The drinks were overflowing.
You,
somebody
you
tonight
approached.
Was drinking an MTF. It was bright blue. Did you guys
MTF.
See that? An MTF.
What is that? What's an MTF? Is that named after the...
male to female.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure they were having a fabulous time.
Is that what makes the drink? Or is that the result? Is that the
That's the result.
That's the function that comes out of the action, or is it the... Okay. I think I see what's going on here.
Okay, the powerhouse on Highland, just north of Hollywood. The Sky Bar on Hollywood Boulevard. Don't compare.
Not even close. Right?
No, it's
Powerhouse is kind of is okay.
There's a groove. I mean, from the front doors to the bathroom, which are chalked up.
I don't know how many listeners you guys have, but I'm sure you have millions.
Millions.
And they should adhere. They should picket the new owners to keep it exactly as it is and not change a damn thing. That's
penalty box. Brilliant.
Yeah, perfect, right? I mean,
you could drink, you could smoke cigarettes right there inside
from a bar.
Oh, wait.
Poisoning other people's lungs.
And
maybe.
And the troughs and the bathroom.
Maybe he was drinking an MAF.
That's male.
Adios,
I don't know what.
Motherfucker. I think that's what he was drinking.
What's in that?
It was blue.
Oh, see, you know it's good. It's like some got some.
Was it an MTF or an AMF? Help us. Help us figure this riddle out.
I can't
out.
Keep track of all these, these letters.
893-9562. Toll free. You can call 800-893-9562. If you're inclined, join in. SkidRowStudios.com.
Keith, you went to Skid Row, or you went to King Eddie's earlier today. Tell me why you went to King Eddie's, and why did you go without me? Because that doesn't make sense at all.
Because I was looking for you.
Yeah?
So, yeah, I'm looking at SkidRowStudios.com on the app. There's an iPhone app. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, nerd. The nerd podcast. Angry Nerd.
Angry Dorks.
Angry Dorks.
Yeah.
Like,
is that what this
6
is?
To 7 on Mondays.
So I came down.
I don't know what
and
this is.
Hung out with you in the control
but,
room.
But there's, I get this feeling that you were on some kind of spiritual quest. And that's why you were driving around Skid Row on your motorcycle, and you had this
you
urge
mentioned,
to stop at Skid at King Eddie's.
Yep, you
why?
Mentioned it before, and I felt drawn tonight to come out. It was about 4.
Well, that's
five
what I'm
o'clock.
Trying to get to. What was about tonight that made you take that step? Something's going on. Tell me.
Keith is a warlock.
Really?
Yes.
Hear me?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. I have had a relationship for 15 years.
Okay.
It's over.
Really?
Yeah. A few weeks. I am moving out. Hollywood is tough alone, but it's nice to have someone. Have your back. And I went looking for you. My producer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow, man.
So I went down.
Thank you.
I stiffened up with one or two at King Eddie's.
Right.
And came up and said hi. And there you were, running Skid Row Studios.
So you started off kind of dealing with some kind of emotional roller coaster that you're going through right now.
Yeah, if you pay me,
you could have sent me a message or something, and you know, it would have been like, "Hey, Keith, man, yeah, I'm at the studio. Come on over." But you just showed up, so
I'm like that.
That's very intuitive because
I'm a stalker.
It's intuitive because I've been, you know, like once in a while I stay home and I let Nick run the show. But you showed up and here I was, you know, so that's pretty cool.
It was good to see
you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of all places, you ended up at King Eddie's.
And
you took me out to King Eddie's, and I was there earlier, and I felt at home already. Yeah. And it was, it's...
You're going to get an experience at King Eddie's.
Yeah.
One way or another, you're going to get an experience. You're not going to get that experience at a fancy bar or someplace that's very proper or whatever. You're going to go to King Eddie's, and you're going to see some shit. And that's okay, you know, like people there are very relatable, down to earth. We got our friend here. We don't fucking know this guy, but you know, he came to the studio and we're like, hey, we're just having a good time, you know.
I have to admit, I'm not quite a regular, but I am a guy who loves the place, and
you understand
up,
it. You understand.
And I showed up there because I love it so much, and I, you know. The reason I'm here is, you know, how else would we have met? We met because of the place, and
exactly.
And I might as well be one of no, but you could next time you should keep delving deeper, and you know, I'm just like the, you know, tip of the iceberg. You should get even deeper. Get some of the regulars here. Get some of the guys who've been there forever, and then you have a real show.
Coomeron Report. They reports, downtown LA.
Yeah.
We also King Eddie's seems like a metaphysical kind of like island. It could be ye olde King's Head or right. Bob's Frolic or what have you. Facts is downtown, a block from crazy.
From hundreds of homeless people.
Yes.
And about thousands.
And you know, yeah. When you go there, if you choose to go to King Eddie's, be prepared. You could be from the West Side, and you're like, oh, I'm arguing about my dart score from McGinty.
Yeah.
But you go to King Eddie's, and it's right in your face.
It's really
visceral.
Is.
You smell it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I smell it.
There's a lot of, you know, I mean, there's a lot of places. I really think personally. I mean, again, I'm just this guy they picked up from the bar, but I think that LA has a lot of these places that are hidden. And a lot of these little places under the surface, a lot of stuff under the surface, a lot of really interesting places under the surface.
And it's,
people.
It's important to understand those places. If you're going to say that you understand LA, you need to know these places.
Oh, yeah.
Because without those places, LA is a total misconception.
Well, the front that the city has kind of put itself up as, you know, with Kim Kardashian and all that. That's not LA.
But that is how the rest of America sees it.
And that's pathetic.
Yeah.
That's pathetic.
You go 2 miles east.
And there you go.
And you're stabbed.
And it's the real, that's the real LA. And it's not even about, I mean, you know, I know it's gotten safer, but it's still interesting. And
we
want to keep it that way.
The cops were in the store when Jeremy was buying food. What were you buying? And outside, we were being extorted, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
We were.
Mildly.
It's subtle. In a kind way.
Like,
by the,
I walked
by
in,
the guy.
I'm lit. I'm like
the guy,
three
the cops didn't give
a
shit.
I walk in like,
oh, yeah.
Swaying by the cops. They're like, whatever, where's my fucking bagels?
Right. They were over it. Yeah, well, they have
like
more things to deal with down there.
Rookie 23-year-old chick cop.
Yeah.
And
she's already seen more than, you know.
She's tweeting.
She's already seen a lot, for sure.
I mean, the fact is about the homeless in downtown Los Angeles is that you can go to any of the missions in Skid Row at any point in time and get food and drink and a place to stay.
Right.
So when you see the homeless guys and they're asking, hey, man, I just need 40 cents to get on the bus, that happens constantly, but... You know. But you those guys to, are just hustling.
Yeah, they are overflowing though. They have more than. I mean, I've seen it that where they're trying to get on literally on the bus, and there's too many to get on the bus to go to the shelter.
They also have just to register with like whatever warrants, whatever pass they have. And every time I see a homeless, I always think they just didn't fucking listen to their wife, like the guy. And there's a support system. There's a family somewhere in the back. They were like, don't smoke so much crack. Don't do this. Take care of your family. Take care of your baby. And it's a choice to be anonymous. It's a choice to be lost.
No, I don't think it's always that, though. Do you really think it's always that?
Well, no. Once they hit it,
it's not a logical choice.
Skid Row, then they're like, all right, how do I find myself from here without that? I don't want to talk about that.
No, but they hit it. They hit it. But they hit it after a certain amount of... other
being a former child star, there's enough alcohol to cover the pain. I can imagine whatever there.
You could have ended up there easily, right?
A house fire. They're gone. They're dead. He's living with that, and he's on Skid Row.
Yeah.
And he can't tell you that in the moment. He says, "Can I have a cigarette? Can I have a, you know, be a 50 cents?" And oftentimes, it's tough in L.A. Look at most families in the suburbs. They don't have the money. It's all on credit.
Right.
I'm at 7-Eleven buying a fucking sausage biscuit for breakfast. $1.29. The guy hits me up. I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't help you. I don't have any money. It's all in card and plastic.
Right. None of it's real.
And they're moving into the cashless society with plastic and debit.
Right.
And I oftentimes don't have it. I have $1, $3, $4, $5 for whatever I want to buy there, but I run the cart. And I walk outside and I'm like, I can't help you.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's interesting. There's a
one guy downtown, 8th and Main, said, I have $27,000 stashed under a bridge somewhere. I got money. I got money. I saved money. But he's not ready to enter the world. He's not ready to enter and register and rent.
But that's probably the exception to the rule. The guy with $20,000 under the bridge.
He might be full of shit.
And right, maybe that $20,000 exists only in his fantasies. But and that's the other thing, though, the mental illness. I mean, if we're going to talk about homelessness, we should talk about mental illness.
Absolutely.
Which causes which? Are you screwed to go put yourself in that situation, or does putting yourself in that situation make you screwed? Don't touch myself.
Yeah.
And the
situation can make you
scaredness. Yeah, and being alone.
Well, you know, anyone who judge. That's why when it comes to judging it. They like it that way, they're lazy, blah, blah, blah. Well, come down there and look around. Tell me how much you think they're choosing. Oh, I just want to, you know, live the life of Riley. Yeah, they're having a great time. No, come down. I'm being sarcastic. You come down there and you see it, and you see these. You see it. It's an out. I was saying this before, and I didn't mean this in a way. I didn't mean this in a degrading way.
You're right.
Yeah, I meant it actually in an honest way. It's like an outdoor mental institution. It's an outdoor mental asylum, and that's it shouldn't be something you say is you shouldn't judge it. You shouldn't say, oh, that's screw them. No, that should be a call to, oh my God, this is
would you
kind
walk
of
right
something
now
else. This is disturbing.
Down 6. Right now, would you walk east down 6? Right now, at
I would.
2:00 in the
I would have absolutely.
Well,
no
I might,
with
but I would
for
know
me, it's
that.
Absolutely intimidating.
Well, you'd know.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, this and so a female,
I've
young
never
woman,
been fucked with.
But you were King Eddie.
She's
surrounded by 5 guys.
she's
not to be racist. I'm a little 5'5" Irish guy, but 5'6" black guys, all talking to you. And you held your own.
Yeah.
How did you do that? Were you scared? Did you just assert yourself? What did you do?
I was in a contained environment. I knew my limits. I worked it with what I had.
You did great.
But to be on the streets and to be walking through Skid Row, that is absolutely intimidating. I could not do it at this point.
It's not, and it's not, and even if it is intimidating, I mean, I don't think it's the most dangerous place in the world, mainly because there's actually some great
about it?
People.
What, the who, possibility who of what
aren't,
happen.
Who aren't looking to screw
the blackness. It's not Latino. It's not white guys that, like, no. miss out in their executive little positions and they're smoking crack now. It's a bunch of black people in their 40s to 60s, forgotten by society, fought in wars, sitting on the fucking streets of Los Angeles,
come straight out of South Central,
asking for a buck or two here. The ambitious ones sit outside of 7-Eleven or the hotels and
open
the door. How are you doing? What, did they got to fucking stem and fetch it? The white people in the West Side can go to Hollywood Highland. They can go in front of Man's Chinese and afford a costume, a Superman outfit, a Spider-Man outfit, and get $5 a picture. These guys are sitting down going, help
But
me.
Here's the thing is that if you are in that area to begin with, they look at you and they're like, why is this fucking white dude's down here? He must be fucked up. And the way that I look at it is like, if I'm walking through there, they're looking at me like, holy shit, man, this guy must be really fucked up if he's down here, you know? And they don't fuck with me. I never have been messed with beyond like, hey, can I have 40 cents? Never. And I've walked through the most fucked up parts of Skid Row in at 4 a.m., you know? Like, it doesn't matter what time it is. They look at me and they're just like, if this white fucking dude is down here... He
because there are others.
He's
there
got
are
problems.
Others. There's
he's
always at least. There's always. It's a minority in that area, but there are others. I've seen white guys in dirty business in dirty suits. Literally, guys who looked like they came out of the stock exchange in New York, and then
is
came here and then were thrown onto Skid Row
racism,
and spewed up.
But if a black guy on Skid Row approaches me, I need help for a burrito, a thing, or some gas or whatever. Fine, I got what's going on. But if a white guy approaches me on like 3rd or Beverly or like Melrose, like help my car, my thing, I'm like, you're up to something. You're conning me. It seems like there's a honestness to being broke on fucking Skid Row.
Right.
And then there's these.
Well, the white guys who are on Skid Row are more
honest. White guys, do you have white guilt, Jeremy? Do you suffer from, I'm not supposed to be here? Or do you feel different when you're on Skid Row and you look around at the faces? It's tough. The reality is that the economy has dumped on everybody.
Absolutely.
Everybody. Man, woman. There used to be good child labor downtown in like the sewing and
there's
like
a lot of people who want that back. Oh,
money.
They want they're fighting for that.
They're like, the Taiwanese taking all our work.
Right.
Oh, God. Good on everyone that makes American jobs. Great. Fucking cheaper someone else. Good on you. You beat us. Great. We'll pay you.
Right.
We love cheap stuff. $8 cheap. T-shirts,
right.
$10
Ask
t-shirts.
Ask Mitt Romney, right? I mean, it's cheap labor.
Ooh.
I mean, what was I not supposed to? Yeah, yeah.
No.
Don't make me
No. All of that hidden and the... the advantage of privilege and being born white, female, male, upper thigh.
Well, that's a perfect, I mean, he's like the most extreme example of that we've had.
What's that sound?
Is that siren, does that symbolize him or is that?
Someone's walking into the studio, watch out.
Why does this keep going in? This is all on the air, right? All of this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just making sure, because I'm still not used to this thing. This is still improv, you know. Live, you know.
Grab a mic.
This is fantastic. I see, I knew I should have done radio a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I like hearing myself talk. And no one else does, but that's worth putting out there, right? Just like most radio people.
I hate hearing myself talk, but I've been radio for 5 years.
Wow.
I still won't listen.
Oh, no, I didn't say I'd like to hear it played back. I'd probably vomit on myself if I heard it played back. I definitely would vomit on myself because I hate the sound of my own voice, but I like hearing myself talk when it's in my head.
Right, because you have a lot to say.
Right, just like the schizophrenic homeless on Skid Row, actually. Not so different. They have a lot to say, too. But no one has time to listen.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
That's why I came to King Eddie's. Right?
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
That's what led us to this point.
They just let us take over.
Yeah.
The producers, they're amazing.
Let's talk about Brooklyn for a minute. We're in New York City. Let's talk about Brooklyn.
Well,
let's bring it home.
Yeah, sure. I'm from there, it's a great place. At least it was. I don't know. It can be a great place.
When did you move to Los Angeles?
I moved there about 4 years ago. 4 years ago.
What part of Brooklyn?
Was originally Sheepshead Bay. That was where I was born, and my family's a lot from Bensonhurst. And I lived in Park Slope till from 89 through.
I was recently 99. In Park Slope.
Yeah.
Nice houses.
Oh yeah, it's a very
nice neighborhood.
It always was a nice neighborhood, but it used to not be such a yuppie
right
area. It didn't used to be that way.
The spillover from Williamsburg is happening. You know, that's.
Oh, well, no. Actually, it started in Park Slope, to be fair.
Oh, yeah?
Park Slope became very upscale before Williamsburg, to be fair. Despite Williamsburg's, I know, reputation, which is due. Brooklyn's still cool in a lot of ways. It's just, it's almost too cool. It's too cool now. Everyone thinks it's cool. It's very cool. It's hip. It's really trendy.
Super trendy. I mean,
there's no doubt that downtown has that aspect too, but it's not quite, still not quite as bad as.
Yo, I'm from Astoria. What the fuck?
Hey, Astoria.
Wait, you're from Astoria?
No, I'm kidding.
I love. Actually, no, that's
all the five boroughs.
By the way, that's Queens.
Yeah,
it's not Brooklyn.
There's more fucking people on the island.
You can tell this is a West Coast
than there are cars in LA. Yeah. It's ridiculous. New York will chew you, eat you alive. New York will run you over. Yeah. You're not with the flow and cruising and going with it. You can't make $2,200 a month fucking paying your fucking
$400 square foot apartment. Because I couldn't afford New York.
I was paying $23.95 a month in the Lower East Side, 20 feet
that's
from Katz's Deli's front door for a place as big as that room that you're in right now.
Yeah, that's a bargain.
Yeah.
Now that's Manhattan, you know, and it's not all of New York City, Manhattan. To be fair, but it's spreading like a cancer.
But LA, you have room and space and time.
Right now, you
and sun.
In some
it lulls you into this.
Hey, I live in the cut with the rats.
Lulls you
I like the dirty alleys. That's where I hang out.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, there's a lot of cool dirty alleys. But the but that's what people don't give it credit for. But it's got them. But it's also got space. It depends on whether you want to. If you want to live on top of one another, New York's
it's
the place to be.
City. The city sprawls.
Yeah.
For miles and miles.
That's
miles,
LA. Miles. LA sprawls.
There's like back alleys and ways to like cut through and shortcuts. What dark spaces other than the Hollywood Hills? The Hollywood Hills hold the like. Ancient moors and like sacrificial spots for moonlight.
That were Manson
killings of cats and shit.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh
yeah,
wow.
I gotta go there.
I heard there's like
we were just talking about Skid Row. I mean, I don't know how.
No.
Like to eat your
LA is designed around the Masonic.
Oh yeah.
In the north you have Franklin. In the south you have Washington. Running east to west is Sunset Temple, Bamford. Melrose, Rosicrucians.
Oh, yeah.
It's you can watch the sun set on sunset on the solstice,
and
around Beverly Hills, there's this weird pyramid right over the Beverly Hills Police Department. There's a pyramid, Rodeo Drive.
I've seen that, yeah.
And all the money, all the high class businesses are in this pyramid. My parents had pyramids, little. 3 2-foot pyramids. We put it over fruit, it would stay forever. Your fruit wouldn't spoil.
They weren't
Illuminati.
I had
one freak friend who, whatever. I had one freak friend of my mom's who meditated in a pyramid. And they believed that it would have these properties and this metaphysical kind of like real thing.
The fair
They tapped on, they rejected their parents' Christianity and Catholicism, organized religion. They embraced
for what?
Metaphysical. Yeah, metaphysics. Enlightenment, awakening, everything else. Everything that was not theirs. They also embraced communism and Taoism and what was it in Venice?
Bullshit by any other name.
No, in Venice, California, used to go Christian Science or no Hare Krishna. That's it. They give you a meal on Saturdays.
It's called Parasodom.
Venice. And they go, here, rice and beans and this and something else.
I used to
else.
Live at a Krishna temple in Philadelphia.
No.
Who?
Yeah, me.
Really?
Yeah. Because the only reason I stayed there is because during that time in the hardcore scene in Philadelphia, Krishna Kora was very big.
We have a call. Oh, drop call.
Oh, really? Right. Oh, that was exciting.
Oh, we have a call?
310.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, telephone.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is me. I don't know. Jeremy told me to call.
Kazu Nagahama from Tim and Eric's Awesome Show. Great job. Kazu, yeah. How you doing?
Good.
You're up late.
Yeah, I was working on a couple of things with these web designers over the internet. So.
You're on the air with Keith Coogan.
Yes,
do you know Keith?
Famous actor from my favorite movie. Yeah. Goonies.
Thank you. Do the truffle shuffle.
Well, I was born in Japan, so I don't know much about the other Hollywood movies from that back time, but yeah, I know his famous movies.
So I went to dinner with Kazu last night. We're the one that we went to Tex,
yeah, French restaurant.
Thai. It's Tex. Called Thai.
I thought it was Tay.
It was really good.
Sure.
Tax. That sounds
something,
French.
The Tax isn't like pronounced. It's Thai, Tay, something.
The thing that I love.
It's in the center of Hipsterville.
Right.
We had a great one? Time. We saw some stand up comedy.
Wait, what is it riding across the street from?
I have no idea.
I was
Echo
riding.
Park. Silver Spoon?
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, Echo Park was. Well,
it's some. Right across the street from the Bright Spot.
That's it.
That's where it is. Yes,
the bright spot.
The bright
Echo
spot.
Echo Pop.
Right.
The bright spot.
I was riding around in Pat Morita's Jaguar. That was very cool.
Yeah. Well, that was only left over from him.
Very cool. I felt really cool about that, Kazu.
Yeah. Well, I used to go to Tax with my uncle once a while because we loved the lamb chop with the mint jam. So. So I wanted to go, but I don't want to go to the restaurant by myself. So I asked Jeremy if he wanted to go. Then he came. Yeah.
You know, I wanted to bring this up. I'm the guest. My name's Randall, by the way. Is your Kazu? Nice to meet you.
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to bring it up. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole you or say, oh, cause you're Japanese, you must know this, but I'll say it anyway, because you're Japanese. You probably do know this. You know, Pan-kun, the chimpanzee.
Yes.
Oh, you do know. You know what I'm talking about. Pan-kun and James.
Yes.
Oh, they're just great. I just was watching them last night.
Okay. Well, he came out really late in Hollywood because he suffered a lot because he was doing a lot of Chinese characters a long time. But
really?
Finally, he landed Karate Kids as Japanese karate master. Before that, he was a comic in San Francisco, but he was doing a lot of Chinese characters.
Oh,
yeah.
So he's been around. Yeah, he's been around the block. He's been doing impressions and yeah.
Yeah, he started late, but he was originally from Sacramento, and he's interesting. His family owned a Chinese restaurant, and maybe that's why people believe that he is Chinese. He was Chinese, maybe.
We're talking about a chimpanzee, just to be clear. That this is an animal, a chimpanzee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
primate.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sometimes eat a human being.
They
eat the face of the human being sometimes.
Right. Well, it's a delicacy in chimpanzee culture.
No.
No.
Primate is human.
No.
But there is a chimpanzee called Pink, and he's very clever chimpanzee. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up.
I like that you brought that up.
Oh, interesting.
I don't anymore.
Where were you born?
I was born in Japan, but my mom is half Korean, and my dad is Japanese, pure Japanese. But I was born in Sapporo, famous for beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school in Japan, Tokyo, for a Jesuit school, but also I went to Philippines, China, and Korea for international relations, whatever study. So, yeah.
Have you come, when did you come to the States?
Well, I came to the States about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how many states have you visited?
I don't remember a couple of states, but I only live in Southern California because of the reason weather, that's all.
SoCal,
best weather.
San Diego, officially, San Diego has the best weather in the whole United States.
Yeah, it's a little far like away second. From Hollywood. That's fine, yeah.
Kaz, other than Tim and Eric, what are some of the other things that you've been in?
I'm on How I Met Your Mother as a guest star. I did a couple of, Nip and Tuck. I think it's canceled already. I was on a couple of things. Yeah.
Did you meet Ryan Murphy?
He was at the audition. Yeah. Yeah, it was a producer session or something. I don't know. I don't
Sweet.
Remember.
Nice.
Kaz,
I love Nip Tuck.
Yeah, it was an interesting show. Yeah.
What about American Horror Story? Didn't he do
that? Yeah. Second season is coming.
Oh, I can't wait.
And they scrapped the whole thing. And now it's at a insane asylum with Glenn. Who is the lead in the first? Glenn? Wait. It's everyone is back, but they're different characters.
Right.
And they have like five trailers online, and they're all.
I haven't seen the trailer. That's
scary.
That sounds great. Yeah. Scary.
I hate like religion and like a building where they make you sit and do the religion. Like they fry
make
your
you
brain.
Sit and do the
scary.
Religion.
Yeah,
that's.
It's very scary.
Kaz, as you might be able to tell, we were at King Eddie's Saloon tonight.
You might be able to.
You were there last night we went there. Tell me your thoughts on King Eddie's, because you had a lot of thoughts about it.
Well, it's interesting. I like that kind of, once in a while, I like that kind of environment, like kind of wild people, because I like to watch the people. But the thing is, my friend told me that I posted on the Facebook, I went to the King's Eddie, and she said, oh, we went to see a psychic there. I said, well, I didn't see the psychic.
I know the psychic.
Who's the psychic?
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of psychics there.
This woman who's from Guatemala. Oh. She's from Guatemala, and she's there. She's a regular, but I don't see her in there, every night. But she's there once in a while.
Maybe that's why she mentioned. Okay.
Yeah, no, there is a psychic there. That psychic told me before I went to New York City that it was a bad idea, and I I completely ignored her and did it anyway, but she turned out to be right, so there you go.
Yeah. This Japanese-American couple.
I could have told you that.
I'm psychic.
Keith is psychic, actually.
Yeah.
He's a warlock. Some people,
Don't let him fool you.
So you guys are both celebrities. You and Keith and our caller. What's his name? What's your name again?
My name is Chimpanzee.
Oh, okay.
I'm not celebrity. I'm just a normal Asian guy on the street. That's all. That's what I do.
Yeah. No, I have to say I'm kind of in the business too, a little bit, personally.
He's rocking a really amazing Hellraiser shirt right now.
Right, that's my claim to fame. I usually spend most of my time in King Eddie's. That's how I usually come up with ideas. That would be not a bad path to follow, actually. That's how Bukowski did it.
A lot of inspiration there at Cambridge.
Yeah.
Earlier, we had the Angry Nerds podcast.
Right.
And I'm a nerd. I'm going to totally, like, shout that out. I programmed and, like, geek and, like...
You know Java. You understand technology, and social media.
Yeah. All the nerds, are you a nerd?
Who's nerd?
Who are you asking?
Oh, yeah, my character is mostly nerdy Asian guy, but I don't know. I don't know much about Windows or Mac. I just use a computer I have. But in some sense, I might be nerd. I don't know which nerd I am. But.
Total nerd.
Yeah, kind of fetish nerd, I guess, because I'm a Japanese man.
Hentai.
Everything. Yeah.
Latex. Leather.
Well.
That's just scratching the surface.
Go ahead, Kazu. tell us all about it.
What? What should I tell?
You know, whatever you're into, you know.
Oh, I'm not into anything. Well, my first experience, as I said earlier, the radio show... I was kind of raped by two girls when I was 12 years old, and I kind of enjoyed it.
But they were Yakuza, right? Yakuza?
No, it wasn't Yakuza, but the kind of bad girls at the school, you know, they have like kind of, you know, each school has a little bad boys and girls, and then two girls, beautiful and pretty, but they're a little older than I was. And then they came to me like, hey, we're going to meet up at the gymnastic gym after school. I said, well. And I went there and followed them, and they just...
Are you sure they raped you? It sounds like the other way around.
In the way, the guy was passive, but I enjoyed it.
So they were acting out on you because they had also been assaulted or molested. So how did they court you? How did they kind of...
Well, they kind of threatened me in the way they told me in the tones, like, you know, and they repeated like every week. I guess they enjoyed it. I enjoyed it somehow, but...
Everybody won. It was mutual.
I guess, yeah. I think in that sense, I didn't feel really victimized, but I kind of enjoyed every week.
And how old were you?
I was 12.
So now is this the only way you can get sexually aroused now?
No. That was my first experience. But I liked the kind of way, situation, those kind of play.
Yeah.
I like it. You know, make a storyline and you become a character and do some stuff in a kind of kinky way.
Right.
But I like that sometimes.
Who doesn't? Oh, yeah.
Doctor and a nurse play or something like that, I guess. It's a famous.
Yeah. Well, if King Eddie was any bigger, I'm sure it would have a spot for that. Right? Yeah. Fetish spot. I wish it. You know, that would be that's what someone should open downtown. I think that
performance could use that. Art.
Performance art. There you go. That would fit in down there well. There's go ahead.
You guys are doing the radio show so late. What time did you start?
It's early. It's almost the witching hour.
Oh.
Yeah, it depends on how you look at it. So.
How do you look at it, Randall?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. Upside down,
the
inside
cup
out.
Half empty.
Yeah,
or
half. It's looking like it's looking empty right now. I don't know.
All right,
I'm just a guess.
Let's take a music break and let Keith recharge.
I'm gonna go.
You should come
Thanks
back.
A lot, Kazu. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You
Thank
so
you
much.
For calling
Thanks.
In.
Great
Enjoy
talking, Kazu.
Kazu, we had a great time last night, man. Thanks a lot.
We'll do it again.
All right.
Bye, chimpanzee.
Bye. All right.
Bye. 30 is real. DVD player. What? You know I fuck the holes in my stretch navigator. What? When I'm rolling down the street, hear my system for miles. And when I see a fine ass, I don't stop and smile. I say, hey, 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 bitch. Hey, 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 bitch. My name's Nancy Law, better known as Crunkzilla. I smoke crack and meth and I'm a
stone cold killer. Got bitches in my bed and bitches in my sink. Bitches in my bitches and I need another drink. Bling, 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 a shot, ricochet, rabbit, fire, finance, fire, club. And you know I gotta have it. Got needles in my arm and acid in my eye. Big bit on the scene and you know we're rolling high, bitch.
Hey, 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 bitch. Hey, 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 bitch.
Hey, bitch, nick, coke, get drunk, get high. I hope you choke, eat shit, and die. Double up my vocals so crunctified. Mouth full of gold, smelling like something died. One foot in the grave and one in your ass. First over, but one day I breaks out in the rap. Got my platinum plated goblet filled to the rim. Heart screaming, oh shit, girl, it can't be him. But it is hope. See my wrist glow. In the club so crunk, feeling dismal. All due to the fact I smoke a pound a day. And when a bitch talks shit, I turn around and say, hey.
One, two, it's 5, 6, 7, 3. My name is Lil Crunk and that be me. Got so much crunk coming out of my ass. Here's album three, bitch. Found a laugh, pass me a butt. Give me that boom, try to fuck with me. And you're born to lose. Smile now, cry later, that's what I say. In Highland Park, this is where I stay.
Hey, 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 bitch. Hey, 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 bitch. Hey, 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 bitch. Hey, hey,
hey, bitch.
Cut your ass.
cat. You eating cat.
Cat.
You eating cat.
Cat.
You eating cat. Cause your mom's a hoe.
I don't know if he'll like that when he's older.
He likes it now.
Okay, as long as he likes.
He's to his own.
Oh, that's what he drives. He chooses.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, we're back on the air. Yeah. Keith, what are you doing? Turn that on. Press that button.
I'm Googling.
And I promise to always sound like...
So when is King Eddie's slated to shut down?
The latest that I heard tonight is that they got another month. It was supposed to be the beginning of September. So now what? We got October.
According
and
to
that's
Ted,
all we can hope for at the moment.
According to Ted, they keep on pushing it back, and that's a good sign, but we hope it'll never happen.
They got some motherfucking booze there. It's cheap.
$2.50.
Ooh.
$2.50.
Firewater.
Was it really $2.50? I thought it was $3 for that pint because I was giving a dollar fifty tips when I thought I was giving a
happy
dollar.
Happy hour. King Eddie's actually has a happy hour from 4 to 8.
It's like a dollar.
During happy hour, a mixed drink is $2.50.
Right.
4 to 8. I'm smoking crack.
Well, that's happy hour. But that's all night, you know. That you can get it all night.
No.
You don't need a special for that.
It's deep. Deep. At King Eddie's. 131 East 5th Street.
Oh, yeah.
Sabrina, what's wrong? Yeah.
I'm having a discrepancy with the headphones.
They're disagreeing with you. Headphones are a difficult thing. That jazz. Thought I was bad. Then when I fired him, a man I felt sad. Hour after hour, I'd explored the land. Mine were coming in and out. I don't know. Are we still? Is this just the music or is this us? Am I on?
This,
so they're hearing my voice talk right now and ramble like a retard. Okay.
Are you?
Nope.
Yeah.
You just gotta put them on. They mute themselves.
Yeah. But it's the same. She was having some problems with the headphones. I was having problems with the headphones. But I was, you know.
They're on.
I was going with it.
In talk.
Hi.
First time on radio?
Yeah.
And
really
there could be like 2,700 or 27 people listening. So
I don't know.
I'm sure
everyone is going to think, "Who is this douche? Who is this asshole?"
Your insecurity is perfect for the radio.
Well, who is this asshole who showed up and just started rambling like a moron? You know,
you're doing
who
better than 90% of the people that come in here their first time.
Please, thank you. I have experience being an asshole, so that helps. You know, give me some edge. I mean, no offense to this profession. I just mean, you know, you have to be kind of a cocky. You know,
yeah.
You have to have that part of you at
ball.
Least.
Ball.
It's called
ball.
Right. No, it's being a performer. Actually, I shouldn't call it that. You know, it's
speaking
as
of
a child actor, you know.
Randall, let's hear about your project you got going on.
Oh, well, thank you for bringing that up. thank you, Sabrina. I appreciate it. I'm actually working on an animated thing. It's a cartoon, but not really for kids, but it's a pretty demented thing. Horror cartoon, horror animation. So I hope.
See, I saw the fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
Wes Anderson, George Clooney, all these voices, Adam Sandler.
Well, that didn't happen.
And, good, but the classic, like, structure, the, you know, likable hero that overcomes insurmountable odds. Jesus thing. even the risky kind of movies fall into formula. And
Totally.
When I grew up, I saw shit that blew my mind. Like,
well, that's exactly the kind of shit I'm doing.
By Law, or
Checking Easily, so.
Strangers in Paradise, or
those are both Jim Jarmusch movies.
Yeah.
So I know what you like.
What was the one?
But he's good, Jim Jarmusch, and especially
the whole
in the
band. They had the funeral, and the guy was on their. They got arrested because their guy was on the roof of their car.
Was it a Jim Jarmusch thing?
Yeah.
That's the, yeah.
And,
I don't know which one.
It was like, they promised us.
Well, those are really
interesting. Camera, you shoot, you have a good story. But still, the money seems to disseminate itself. And,
corrupt.
Even, I saw Haywire. Steven Soderbergh. Great fucking, independent action movie, a chick lead, kind of like Alien.
It was disappointing too.
Money versus art. So if you're bitching about what you see, pick up the camera, make it better.
Do it. Make it better, right. Thank you. That's it. That's actually why I chose animation, because, I mean, I was just, I'm a nobody. I did a couple short films that are actually on DVD. They're in a collection, by the way, called Beneath the Flesh. This is a collection of short horror films, if anyone out there is into horror.
Awesome.
But those films, you know, about two people, maybe they're listening to this. They've seen those films. But the, you know, I couldn't. I felt like I couldn't get anywhere with just what is that? What is that voice, man?
Oh, is that
okay? The guy was talking over me. That was my inner monologue. You know, the thing with live action is you need money to make it anyway halfway decent. And you know, I tried many times, and you know, you got to get people to work for free if you're broke, like, you know, and if you got to get people to work for free and they won't, and you got to get a set and you got to get all these things. But if you're making something that's kind of fantastical or kind of otherworldly, it's a lot easier to do animation, at least in the financial realm. Now, the time realm then is another story. So then I had to deal with time.
So time I chose is animation. Irrelevant.
Well, thank you. I wish everyone thought that way.
And you're dealing with, like, being by yourself.
Yeah, alone.
So,
alone. All alone.
On a set.
Loneliness.
Animated. God knows how hard it is to make, like, a Nightmare Before Christmas or... Paranorman.
Well, I didn't even, you know, stop motion. I tried some stop motion in the past, and I wouldn't even try it again.
Part of our class was an 8mm camera. Take double pics, so you like every other frame,
right.
And you're doing like 12 frames a second.
That's right.
We made our own movies in public school. They give us cameras and sets and like, well, here's your area.
That's fantastic.
Your little, like, that's claymation, awesome. Whatever. Is that perverted?
It's awesome. It's incredible.
In Denver or
they
Detroit
probably don't do that. That's Los Angeles. That's because you're right. But that's awesome. Now, I don't know if that's all public schools in Los Angeles. Are you saying it is? That's
do
every public school in Los Angeles?
Do you
want
to make movies? Do you, like...
No, that's why.
Going, no.
Of course I want to make them. Why would I be talking about making them otherwise? I am making them. I am making movies. The question is anyone ever going to see them? That's, you know, I've been making movies for the past 13 years.
How young, what inspired you?
It was just about telling stories. And, you know, I was drawing, sculpting, and trying to tell stories visually. And I realized, you know, well, movies are kind of the, you know, the whole thing. And then more recently, I finally realized, well, animation kind of makes sense because I can have control over it because I'm a control freak. And then I realized, oh, wow, well, I'm really insane because I've decided to do something that will never, ever get done, that I'm just constantly toiling away alone and going in circles. No, I'm actually doing it. It's happening. It's happening.
Tribe.
It really is.
Why not work with a group of people?
I wish
you
I could.
You think the lone artist, lone toiling away, David Lynch style, shorts at a time, 5 years to make fucking erase your head?
Yeah.
Or do you think you work with the tribe? And
eventually.
I mean, I'd love other people?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, sometimes I don't know. I do actually. And if I could find the right group of people, sure, I would. It's very difficult to find that right group of people. I've had good people who I've, but it's never enough people. But that doesn't mean it can't happen eventually. I mean, the way I always thought is that you got to start on your own, pretty much. You got to just start doing it and putting it out there.
A nugget.
Right.
A sword. You know,
believe in yourself.
A spirit.
Push it.
And you push it and push it.
You
until
build it and they will come. That's the mantra.
Yeah. It's Field of Dreams?
Yes.
It's true. And
it absolutely is.
That's how this place got started, man.
And you started building it.
Yeah.
Build
it and they will come. And that's what happened, man.
See, men destroy.
The power men in the kill. Power of intention
so you
is
kill with
so
your eye.
Incredible. Just in the universe alone.
That's beautiful.
Try it. I mean, Try it on a daily basis. Just throw your intentions out there. Put positive intentions and see what comes back.
Sabrina, you got to turn down your headphones a little bit.
My headphones or my mic?
Your headphones. Yeah.
Because you can hear that.
But she's saying something pretty damn profound. Whatever. I mean, you know, you choose your own. I chose to do this kind of insane thing on my own, and we'll see if it ever gets done. And I'm trying, you know, and I'm pushing it. I'm trying to get it out there.
Where can we check out your work at?
Well, it's online a little bit. RandallKaplanFilms.com. I have to actually fix that website up now that I mentioned it. It's gotta get that website has to look better than it is. But I'm out there. It's around. You can look up Beneath the Flesh, Randall Kaplan, Boxhead. These are all things that are kind of out in the ether that will hopefully. Boxhead's actually, I'll just mention that real quick. It's a character that I made a short live action film about, and now it's going to be the animated film that will soon premiere online. By 2013, I promise. It will premiere. Okay, so what else? You're talking about King Eddie's, right?
No, Steve Jobs. Before he died, did an interview. They asked him about deadlines. And he said, true artists ship and produce, make it.
Yeah.
Andy Warhol said, you make it, bunch of art, you put it out there on the floor.
Right.
And while they're judging, while it's good or bad, you're making more art.
Right.
And there's not a means to an end. There's not a thing. You have to express this.
It's just about
and
money.
If you make money or don't, who cares? It's kind of better if you don't make money.
Yeah, well, for the art, yeah.
For also, some people.
Well, you see also
the masses
the art
love
change.
A certain Pavlov kind of right. Swashed Chris Columbus view on the world.
Hey, I think right. We're going to call her,
like
by the
a
way.
Bukowski view on the world.
That's right.
It depends on how you live, what race you are, what perspective you're coming at everything from. But mainstream media isn't really fair. Even SAG, Screen Actors Guild, right. Has a breakdown of races. And they said, LA alone is like 53% Latino. They go, right. On TV, they're 6%.
Huh. You ever broke a Puerto Rican dude's off with sweatpants money?
Yeah.
You're throwing Chihuahua through for the project?
Yeah.
Word, that's fresh.
Hey, caller, what's your name?
What's my name?
Yeah.
This is Wisdom, the wax molester out of Seattle, Washington.
What's up, man?
I love the Northwest.
Hey, man, can you do a little freestyle for us right now?
Yes.
A little freestyle?
Yeah.
Word. I need a beat or something.
The show's national.
All right, let me look for one.
Give me like a 90 beats per minute joint.
Go ahead, beatbox.
Jeremy.
Beatbox.
I can't beatbox.
Keith can. Go ahead.
I'm not good enough for you. No.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. At least try, man. At least try.
Is that me? Really? Sorry. No.
Yo, who the fuck is this?
You're on the air with Keith Coogan, Sabrina, and what's your name, man?
Randall.
Kaplan.
Word.
What's your name?
Who is this?
This is Wisdom Hump.
Wisdom.
Okay.
Wisdom. W-I-Z-D-U-M-B. I'm down with Kel from 8-Bit. I guess you guys know him.
So, Keith, you know about 8-Bit, right?
Yep.
So, this guy knows Kelly, one of the guys from 8-Bit, but Kelly moved to Seattle, and this guy met Kelly when he was up in Seattle.
So that's how he knew this?
Yeah.
So, you must have been fascinated by our discussion then, right?
All right, here, I'm going to give you some Ghetto Boys music.
Here we go.
Rap on top of this, can you?
Yeah.
All right.
Ricky Yard.
Barely hear it.
Boys, chopped up and not slopped up. Yeah, this is Lil J and the Ghetto Boys and this mother once again. The dough in just
I can barely hear that shit, man.
What?
92.
I can barely hear it.
What about now?
But you know there's a lot of people mad about our success.
Got some faster than that.
Such what? Come on, man.
Come on, man.
And other wicked people.
Better look out, Jack, cause a flash pass. Big D whiplash, and even your shit crash. I'm off the mash on your fleet when I bring heat. I freak beats with correct technique. Buck streets, I'm posting out of your sector. Duty death is stepping me, you know I had to wreck her. Flex up, cause I got my specs up, hex up. Put the polar thermal detonator, just the tech pump. H to the A to the L to the 2. Being out of space, phasing out your whole crew. If you snooze, you lose, and if your crew bruise. And if you wanna test, I'll rub you out with my moon shoes. In and out of orbit, like I told you, black. Abduct you from your city that you claim your ass. You think to epic city, so lay down your hat. The city ain't so pretty, yo, I told you that. Yo, in and out of orbit, like I told you, black. What? Abduct you from your city that you claim your ass. You think to rep it city, so lay down your hat. The city ain't so pretty when you clone your rap.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Where'd that beat go?
Yeah. Here it is, man. I just want to make sure people can hear you.
I'm hellbound, nigga. My life ain't never been heavily. Never slipped and ain't nothing changed since the 70s. I'm hellbound.
All right, man. That was Wisdom Hump from fucking Seattle.
Ain't nothing changed since the 70s.
Yeah. I'm a DJ.
Yes, you are.
All right, go ahead. Are we good? How we feeling? We've been going for an hour and 17 minutes.
Where's Wisdom?
He's gone.
Oh, he left?
He's in the
ether. He dropped a rhyme and then he dropped out?
Exactly.
Boo.
He was done with his business.
Come back, Wisdom.
He shared with us.
Come back.
Yeah.
Wait, where's Keith? Is he sleeping?
Oh, he left the building. I don't know.
No,
he's just not here right now. He'll be back. I think.
Let's talk more about your animation.
No. Don't do that. No.
Well, it's like walking barefoot over broken glass.
We talk about animation in general, actually. If you wanted to. Anyone ever seen Allegro Non Troppo? This really relates to the last song we heard, I think, and the last caller very much.
Yeah, let's hear it. Take off.
It's an Italian film, animated film, that's kind of like Fantasia, but it's kind of like a fucked, screwed up version of Fantasia. Is there like a censor here?
There's no censor. You can say anything you want at any point in time.
Great. Thank you. Good. So that's, so it's a fucked up version of Fantasia, but an Italian, I guess that helps. But it's just a bunch of weird, animation, but one of the best bits ever, and maybe one of the greatest animated bits I've ever seen in my life is the Bolero number, which is to the classical theme, the Bolero theme, and it's dinosaurs evolving. It's essentially the evolution of life, but it's so sick. And just look it up. And I'll say it has a lot to do with the little monkey that fucks everything up.
What are we looking up?
Bolero from Allegro Non Troppo.
Okay.
Allegro Non Troppo. And it's the Bolero section of that. So if you look up Bolero Allegro Non Troppo, it's B-O-L-E-R-O Allegro. A-L-L-E. B-R-O, I think. Non Troppo. Two P's, I think. And that's, it looks like you got a call.
Ooh, I love it.
Do you? No, now it's gone. Apparently they weren't too interested in this. I recommend it highly. That's what animation should be. That's what animation, where animation should go. In the 70s, they seem to, they had some cool stuff like that. And now, this and that, some good things. But that was like just the pinnacle to me of some great, beautiful animation. And just, and really, it's like, it's adult, but it's entertaining enough that kids would love it, but it's very dark and very, and funny too. But in the end, pretty dark. What's that?
Oh yes, I'm here to tell you.
I heard a voice.
Go ahead, caller. Drive the same car sometimes when we go cold as an igloo. Hello? Caller drop.
They're
here, they're gone.
I keep seeing
they're gone.
Okay, they're gone. Respect is the man and most men don't understand until they peep the huge. Well, junkies are fun, love life on the run. It seems like you guys talk about anything and everything, which is really cool.
But this is a free-for-all right now, right? Like, this isn't a regularly scheduled program, but we're just having fun. And
which is awesome.
I'm glad you came here. You got some interesting things to say. I think you talk very well on the mic. What do you think, Sabrina?
We're in the studio drinking Coors right now.
Say Coors again? Coors.
How do you say it? Coors.
How do you say it?
It's Coors.
Coors.
Wait, say it again.
Coors.
Coors.
It's a very elegant drink. You can't just say Coors. You've got to say Cures.
Coors.
Coors.
I'm from Wild.
Sorry. No, but it's an elegant thing. But when you usually have the show, I'm just curious. When you usually have the show, what is there like? Then you stick to the issues. When you usually have the show, you talk
Keith
about.
Keith has someone very 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 famous in here, and he does an interview.
Really?
Keith had Rodney
Rowdy Rodney Piper.
Rodney Eastman from Nightmare on Elm Street 3 and 4. The other week.
Oh my god.
Billy motherfucking Zabka.
You really
Billy Zabka. Cobra Kai. Like, sweep the fucking leg.
Kip it.
That was very cool, man. Who was the other guy?
I brought on the girl from The Walton. We the talked Waltons. About child molestation. That was fun.
Yeah, that was one of those heavier shows.
That's a great topic.
Good, very good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's a nice light topic to start the night off with.
Biff show.
From Christmas Story.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Child molestation.
Yeah.
Lovely.
A Christmas Story. You guys touched on
Scotty Schwartz.
Scotty Schwartz from A Christmas Story. And what I remember him from is the Toy with Richard Pryor.
Like, oh, the fuck, Toy. You know? That was a fucked up movie. That
amazing. Right? Like that, you could not make that movie today with the racism that is in that movie.
Oh, God, yeah. He owns the black guy, right? Yeah. The white kid owns the black guy.
Pretty much.
I mean, yeah.
He's like, watch it. I was like, it's a fucked up crazy movie. He's like, God, he's like, no, watch it again. I did. It's very well done.
That's from like what year is that?
Genius. Richard Donner, right? Dick Donner?
That I don't know.
What, do you know what around what time? Is it late 80s?
Oh, yeah, like 82, 83.
I thought it was later than that. Maybe. I don't know.
The other movie that's got
the 80s was a fucked up time. I mean,
I loved
Kidco.
Yeah.
Do you remember Kidco?
When?
Kidco. That was the first movie I ever saw Scotty Schwartz in, and he was like fucking, I don't know, 11 years old when he was in that or something. Kidco was about a kid who created a corporation based on the manure that they were giving to farmers in the area.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but it was funny. That was the first time I saw Scotty Schwartz.
I was telling you about Sonny Boy before, right? Or no, I was telling you about Sonny Boy. Keith, I was telling you about Sonny Boy, and I didn't get to tell you, Jeremy, but the movie, because we were talking about Tarantino and how, anyway, the long story short, Tarantino had this thing at one of the theaters over here for a tribute to David Carradine not long after he died, and David Carradine was in this film called Sonny Boy. Now,
at the New Beverly, I'm sure.
No, this was actually at the Silent Movie Theater, which the Cine Family.
Oh, okay, right.
But
wait,
it should have been
located?
It was the one.
It's on Fairfax.
Yeah.
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 I love that theater.
Yeah, and it's a great place. But the that's another. Yeah, the Tarantino had this thing about Carradine. It was, and I think it was long. It was close to when he died, and the whole thing was. Anyway, Sonny Boy is this film that I had seen on one late night. It was back when I was in New York, and I saw one late night. It was 3 a.m. All of a sudden, I see David Carradine in a dress. On TV.
Really?
Yeah, David Carradine talking to his husband, this big, burly, disgusting oaf of a guy, and they're locking this kid up in a box. It was some sort of torturous thing that they're putting this kid through, and it's him and David Carradine in a dress is a woman. He's got breasts, but he's got stubble. He's still a man, essentially, but he's playing a woman. He's a deep voice, everything.
He's a Sunday morning tranny.
But they never make any reference to a tranny at all.
Okay.
Nothing. It's just one of
plays
the characters.
Plays it straight,
in the film.
But he's a tranny.
Pearl. Anyway, the movie is Sonny Boy, and I highly recommend
I'll
it.
Have to
it's
look that
one
up.
Of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. The whole thing is so twisted and wonderful. But at the end of the whole thing, after we watched it, we saw it on the, so I got to see it a second time on the big screen in this show. And Quentin Tarantino interviews the star of Sonny Boy. Quentin Tarantino.
That's funny.
Interviews him, and he's fascinated by every word this guy says. And the star of him, by the way, is not David Carradine. David Carradine's dead, and the husband was some other character actor, and there were some other character actors in who showed up in One Floor Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And besides them, there's this kid who was Sonny Boy, who nobody knows. Tarantino interviews him and is on the edge of his seat talking to this kid. And the guy was having the time of his life, you know, so.
It's funny.
It was great. It was just great.
Thank you for listening. This is live from downtown LA. This is...
It's 3 in the morning.
The kind of radio that's, you don't hear.
Ooh, it's the typically, witching hour. Yeah.
They paid money.
Somebody's calling in.
Jeremy, can we get a witching hour?
I just can't get enough of it.
Hey, you got a caller, Keith.
All right. Hello?
Go ahead, caller.
Thank you for calling. How can we help you?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
He just hung up again. They're fucking with us.
They're
fucking with us. Yeah.
They're just not feeling it. They don't have the guts.
That's what it is.
I'll challenge them. To have the balls to come on and start talking. No, so, did you do that? Is that how you get your car?
Are we wrapping it up here, or what are you feeling?
Oh,
we're having fun, but we're good. If it's not rolling anymore, let's go back to my place and keep taking bong hits.
I guess it's over. But this is the kind of thing. This is amazing for your free. You're hanging out. I'm bored. Let's have a radio show.
Yeah.
Let's put it out to the world.
Let's That's walk a couple blocks.
Fucking awesome.
Let's go do a radio show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's lots of fun.
I mean, you know.
I'm gonna put this online.
I hope someone. Yeah. Please put it online. So this is for posterity's sake.
Yeah.
Right.
Why not?
I'm sure I'll regret saying that tomorrow when I hear it. But you know,
it's good times.
Yeah.
Keith Coogan, you got any closing words for us here?
Thank you
three
for
in the
listening
morning?
Tonight. Mickey Thomas' Super Overall Classic side-by-side fighting car racing, side-by-side monster truck racing will fill the Anaheim Convention Center with mud. Thank you for listening. This is Skid Row, downtown, 3 in the morning? Really?
3 a.m. on a Monday.
What have you done to me?
But come on, if it's Skid Row Studios, really? You got to live up to
it. It's all downhill from here, Keith.
Oh, man.
It's all uphill. You're going to wish that you did all that coke back in the day when you could have.
Never.
After tonight.
Never. All right. Thank you for listening. Thanks for coming, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Keith. Pleasure. Keith, real quick. Yeah. Elizabeth Shue.
I lean up against her. I'm like, oh, I shot it. Okay, it's cool. I love her.
Who wouldn't want to?
Perfect. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. 3 a.m. at Skid Row Studios. After a King Eddie session, everybody's real happy.
A session. Is all that right. What you call it now?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good night.
Good night.
Life is fine.